The billionaires, they're the ones that have too much money. So I write my next book.
Listening to Geek vs. Geek, please visit our Facebook page. For donation recommendations and other ways you can contribute to the show, look us up, Geek vs. Geek, on Facebook. Thank you.
All right, there we go.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 38. 39. God, I was going to do that again.
You just asked me about
it. I know. Of Geek vs. Geek, I'm Gio.
And I'm Bob.
What's up, man?
Just accept the fact that that's just going to be our thing.
I guess it's.
You have to just roll with it.
Do you put any clips or anything like when you release this like before, like as an opener, like some of these things?
I'll grab a random thing from somewhere in the show, and I'll put it in the front. Before the theme music starts.
Yeah.
And then I have a canned Facebook promo after the theme music, and then we go into what we're doing now.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. So what's happening, brother?
Not much, man. It's been a stressful week.
You're telling me.
Uh-huh.
The holidays are in full swing, and
that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should I reserve my customary Christmas rant?
I don't know.
Retail sales rant.
Everybody in retail knows, man. They get it. We've all been there.
Okay.
We feel you, man. We feel you. Got anything you want to start with? Because like I said right before the show started, I feel like I want to take the show in a different direction this episode. So I want you
to bear with me. Nothing pressing.
Okay. All right. Well, just get a little housekeeping out of the way. Our Facebook page is suffering from the lack of activity. So if you're listening to the show, please interact there. Kind of develop a community with each other. I noticed we have a lot of listeners from France. That's like our number two right now. So if I spoke any French, I will certainly try to greet you all. with some, but I don't want to butcher your language because I know that your language is very important to you. But other than that, as far as the United States goes, Idaho is holding in there at a strong number two.
Idaho.
And that kind of got me to thinking about something. You've probably heard of the four murders that happened in Moscow, Idaho.
I seem to remember hearing something about it, but I didn't catch the full story.
All right, it has become somewhat of an interest of mine. It popped on my radar, and I've been following it pretty closely. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't like to say that I'm part of the true crime community, because I think that's exploitive of victims, and it often glorifies murderers, you know. But I have always followed murder investigations. And I've told the story on the show before where I stopped watching the first 48 because I would always solve the murder before the show ended, to my dad's disgruntledness. like, can't you keep that to yourself, damn it? I can't help it, Dad.
Movies now. I do that with movies now and TV shows. Thank you very much.
So it has been, you know, murder investigations have been, I wouldn't say a hobby, but I've kind of, you know, just as a mental exercise, I kind of like to see if I can discover anything. Anyway, like I said, I don't really feel like I'm part of the true crime community, but
it's certainly certainly a growing segment of podcasting.
Yeah, it's kind of taken over. And I'm a little upset at that because, you know, I think, like I said, I think it's exploitive. And the last thing I want to do is make a profit off of somebody else's victimhood. Or misery, you know, whatever they're going through. Because, you know, you've suffered loss in your life. I've definitely suffered loss. And if somebody were to have a podcast episode about my brother's death, I would feel very offended about that. Mm-hmm. If it didn't honor his death or more importantly, his life. And they're making money in some way off of my brother passing. I would have a real problem with that. And so I think about the victims and their families whenever I think about these true crime genre. To even call it a genre seems exploitive to me.
Well, I mean, the true crime genre of book, you know, people writing books and stuff has existed for years, way before podcasting. I don't read as much of that as I probably should. I should every once in a while, but I really, I've only read one recently, and I can't remember. It wasn't even a true crime. It was sort of I guess you could say it was like a thriller novel or something, but it wasn't. I mean, it was basically about people that abused their children.
Yeah.
Okay. And the book, name of the book is, I think it's Don't Ever Tell or something like that.
Yeah.
And
I think I heard of that book.
Yeah, one of our a mutual friend of ours turned me on to it. And I'd never read anything like that. And I was like, all right, I'll step out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And I went and I read it, and I'm like, okay, that's wow, you know. And yeah. They were trying to prove a point. They were trying to say that, you know, see, there are not everybody's nice in this world. There are people that do shitty, you know, shitty things.
Well, I always thought that was just kind of obvious.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was one of those things where I'm like, okay, it's like a movie you watch it's like, okay, I can say I've seen it. Don't ever care to see it again.
Been there, done that.
That, yeah, basically. And I you know, it was like very, very eye opening. I know people like that exist,
right?
But to my mind, I'm like, I've never. Not everybody experiences that in their lifetime. Not everybody
that you know of.
Yeah, I mean, I don't personally. I don't know that you have, other than, you know.
Well, I'm not going to talk about anything on the show.
But you know, we've never talked about it. I put it that way. Okay. But, it was just like a people. I mean, this story was just very like, oh my, you know, brainwashing, like
grooming.
Group very,
yeah.
Before that was even a term.
In the vernacular of child abuse, it has always been a term. It came to the forefront whenever the left got involved with their LGBT bullshit. But basically, grooming, for those that don't know, is whenever you prepare a child to be abused. There's a setup process beforehand. It's not like the abuser just says, oh, I think I'm going to rape a child today. They think about it long in advance and prepare the child for the gruesome act. And, which shows even more how gruesome the act is. I mean, a lot of sexual assault on grown women, and some men.
You cutting out, dude.
Oh, I'm cutting out?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. It comes out of a point of spontaneity. You know, it's not planned ahead of time in most cases, but when a predator goes after a child, there's a lot of preparation involved, usually disguised as good deeds, like, you know, gifting the child, compliments, you know, testing the waters with different things. But that's a whole other aspect that, you know, I'm glad we're talking about it just to bring awareness, but I wanted to get back to the Idaho murders.
Okay.
And I'm okay with talking about whatever this episode. Like I said, I planned on it going in a different direction. We talked about having a topic list or whatever, and when we were kind of preparing for this week, and I'm kind of thinking, well, something that's been on my mind, I might feel better just throwing it out there on the show. But the Moscow, Idaho. It's a very small town, but it's home of the state university. Okay. Sort of like Tuscaloosa is a medium city, home of the University of Alabama. Okay. And whatever town that the Mississippi State University is in.
Starkville,
that's right. I knew that. Usually small towns with a big college in them, right? Mm-hmm. Well, Moscow, Idaho is no different. And about a month ago, four college students were brutally stabbed to death. Two friends and a couple. three girls and one dude. And from first victim to the fourth victim, the the stabbings got less violent, if that's such a thing. Mm-hmm. The first victim was just, you know, seemed to be the primary target. And then the last victim just seemed to be like the killer may have run out of energy or started to run out of energy after stabbing three other people beforehand, you know.
Now, do they know who did this?
Well, that's the thing, they don't.
Okay.
And so I've been kind of, it got on my radar right around that time that it happened a month ago. And it kind of got overshadowed because there was another shooting. That gay nightclub incident happened right around the same time. So, of course, that took precedence, you know. Which, you know, I don't think any murder should take precedence over another, but it did. The news cycle went that direction instead of the Idaho direction. But now that that has cooled off and they found out that a gay dude who was responsible for that, and he wasn't a Republican, they kind of abandoned that story. So I'd been a conservative who was homophobic, they would have been all over that. But it wasn't. It was one of their fellow community members. So they abandoned that story quick, buried it. And it's, you know, it's as though it never happened. That's beside the point here. But the point, the direction I'm going here is something interesting happened as I studied this case. I started looking at what FBI profilers thought of the killer. And I started making a mental list of the characteristics that kept coming up. Okay, stabbing is up close and personal. Okay, that's a very intimate way to kill somebody, and it takes a lot of effort. So we can assume that the killer knew the victims, or at least one of them. Also, the knife involved was a Rambo-style hunting knife, believed to be a K-bar, because the sheath was left behind.
So it was a Marine fighting knife.
They think. Well, they call it a tactical knife, but yeah. And most Marines don't even like K-bars. So the civilians buy up K-bars because they're military issued. But those who are issued those knives think they're garbage and usually replace them with something else. So it's not a military person, in my belief, that committed the murders. Maybe a wannabe. I'm thinking maybe a hunter.
Yeah, you say Rambo style, so it's got to be like, I've seen these before, is what they call a survival knife.
Yeah, that's been a term thrown around in the news quite a bit. So I'm looking at this case as though I'm an investigator, and I'm putting these clues together, and I'm looking at everybody involved, that I can get my hands on, being in Alabama and Idaho's in Idaho, and I'm not a professional by any stretch of the imagination, but like I said, it's a brain exercise for me. So I'm studying this case, and the more characteristics that come to light over the, you know, what in my mind I'm thinking of the murder is something pops out at me, you know. One of the victims who got the brunt of the injury. The brunt of the injuries, her name was Kayla. Okay, she's believed the first victim, and she was the worst victim. Okay. So they believe she was the primary target. Okay. So you think to yourself, okay, if I'm profiling this killer or assembling a profile from bits and pieces, so most likely a male. I mean, I'm just being honest. Somebody who thinks they're in the military or they're an avid outdoors person, but they're not, they're like halfway. They're not like totally serious into it. Cause like I said, K-bars aren't very liked in the military. Most people that I've talked to in the military who are issued a K-bar chuck it in their footlocker and they go and buy something better. They never use it. The reason being is the tips are, the standard issue K-bar has a weak tip and they break real easy. And I went down that rabbit hole. Why aren't K-bars liked? Or are they even liked in the military or used? They are issued, standard issue. Do our military personnel use these knives? How familiar are they? Well, they're tossed in the footlocker. Usually, they're just not well liked amongst our service members. So I'm thinking, okay, up close and personal crime because the knife was used. So victim had to have known the assailant. It was very violent crime, very angry, a lot of energy. So there's a lot of emotion involved. So I'm thinking boyfriend, or somebody had a crush on one of the victims who wasn't returned, and that was their revenge. And then I started to look at other characteristics. One of the interesting characteristics that stuck out to me. Now I have a suspect. That's where I'm headed with this, but I'm setting it up first.
Okay.
There's two suspects actually. But there's one that's really sticking out to me. But something that one of the FBI profilers said, that the assailant is more than likely disparaging of law enforcement, which is very specific. They said that whoever committed these murders would not speak highly of law enforcement, would have no respect for the police involved. Mm-hmm. That raised a very red flag to me because I'm looking at Kaylee's father, okay? And he's spitting out facts about the case that nobody else knows, okay? In other words, he's formulated a theory as to how the assailant entered the house and how he left the house. Mm-hmm. Cops haven't released that information. He's developed a theory on that his daughter was the primary target. And he's just very outspoken. He's just talking about this, and he's spitting facts about the case that really we don't, as the public, really shouldn't know because it might hinder the investigation. But there's one thing that he did that stuck out as a red flag. He started talking shit about the Moscow Police Department and their handling of the investigation. So I'm thinking maybe they're not looking at the right person here. He fits the profile almost to a T. He knows the victim. He's not local to the community, which she isn't. She grew up, her parents, her dad lives about 3 hours away from Moscow. up close and personal. He's a dude, so he might have one of these K-bar knives or have had one. Just everything. I go down this list of what the profilers have assembled, different characteristics from different profiles, and I kind of just put one profile together from the information. And I kind of think that, now I don't think that he did it. Really, but I'm starting to think that maybe we should at least go down that route just as a precaution, because we're just a little more than a month into this investigation and We have no clue who murdered these people. And the dad is acting very suspicious. And he's checked off a lot of boxes on the profile of the assailant. And I wanted to talk about this out of respect because, you know, the last couple episodes, Idaho's been up there as far as our listenership goes. And I just kind of wanted to acknowledge that, hey, you know, I'm paying attention to this and, you know, I really feel a lot of empathy, you know, for the families of the victims. Now, I don't want the father to be the murderer. That'd be horrible. But I still think police should at least just take a harder look at him, you know, just to say, hey, okay, we're sure he's not, you know, he's not the one. Because he's making himself look awful suspicious, and that's not good for him. And it's especially not good in finding the real assailant who murdered his daughter and three other innocent people. So, like I said, I don't really have a lot of respect for what is called the true crime community, especially in podcasting. But I also don't feel like this case should be ignored. I think as many ears as we can... eyeballs and ears we can get to it. I really want this case solved because first of all, it's brutal. Second of all, it's just terrible. I mean, these young people going to college, they're beginning their future and they were cut short for no apparent reason. And I just wanted to shed light on that case this episode and share some of my thoughts on it. I wasn't sure how much you knew about it.
I know about it. They talked about it extensively on, because they do. Well, my parents watch a lot of the news, and I get it walking through the room. And are sitting there eating breakfast or eating something, and you it's on. Of course, this house is not very big, so you pick up things. And most of the time, I don't go for more information because, you know, it's like at a certain point. I've heard it so much because you know how the 24-hour news cycle works now is they talk about a story. They start in the morning and they talk about it every hour on the hour. Like,
yeah, if it's a lead story, yeah.
You know, just the same thing over and over and over. And by the, you know, by about the second or third time, I'm like, I'm not interested. It goes out of my head. So as far as that goes, I remember seeing some of the reports or, you know, watching the, people in Idaho, kneeling about, you know, coverage that they took and why this guy did it, why, you know, he broke into dorms and killed these people. And that's about as far as I got with it. I didn't go look up information or anything.
Well, I don't watch any television whatsoever.
Normally, I don't either. I'm in the pick and choose, but you know,
The case came to me, like I said, it came onto my radar, and I was just kind of intrigued, and. And like I said, since I noticed we have an uptick in Idahoans listening to our show, and for whatever reason, I just want to acknowledge that case because it, first of all, it's horrible. I can't even imagine what those families are going through. Losing a loved one, especially a child, is one thing, but losing one to a brutal murder. Such as this, that's an entirely different thing. And I don't know. And like I said, I just got a bad feeling about Kaylee's father. He's just a little too outspoken for my taste. I know he's a grieving father, but.
Well, you said there was another person that you thought.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The neighbor.
Oh, okay.
The neighbor, I don't know a whole lot about him or his name. But I've listened to a couple interviews with this dude. And he's waited. He's released some facts that he knew, like, recently that you would have thought that he would have done so a lot sooner. It's like, why are you waiting until now to spit this? You know, you should have... You know, like he heard a noise or something, you know, it seems minor, but had he told the fucking police sooner, it might have been helpful and it might also made him look a little better. Mm-hmm. The thing that really gets me about the neighbor is his story has changed a couple of times. And I don't know if his memory's just not clicking and he's, or is he lying about something or, you know. Mm-hmm. He is a strong candidate, in my opinion. Those two are somebody, I'd take a hard look at the neighbor first because I wouldn't want to just assume that the father was the suspect, but. In my eyeballs, everybody's a suspect until we find the killer. I mean, you know.
Well, I mean,
anything's possible.
Don't be careful how you say that because it's guilty until proven innocent. Except it's supposed to be the other way around: innocent until proven guilty.
Well, that's not what I mean. I'm just saying, in a murder investigation, you shouldn't just assume that somebody didn't do something until they've been completely eliminated. You know, because that's dangerous, you know. So he's the father. There's no way he could have murdered his own daughter. Well, you know, shit happens. It's been done.
Yeah, she may have pissed him off or something. You never know.
Well, here I have a theory as far as the motive goes that nobody's talking about. Would you like to hear it?
Sure.
All right. One of the victims was Kaylee's best friend. They grew up together. Okay. I think that they were lovers. I think Kaylee and her best friend were lesbians. Okay. I don't have a problem with that. It's their business. But I'm just looking in the pictures. They act more like girlfriend than they do friends. They're holding hands. They're really close together. They're hugging each other, you know. And I think that perhaps maybe the father had found out about this and may have had a problem with it because both of them are dead now. And the other two just so happened to have been in the house. So, you know, but it was Kaylee and her best friend in the same bed. Okay. Same bedroom, same bed. Nobody's talking about it. You know, they get murdered first because Kaylee's the worst. Okay, now think about our assailant. He knows the victim. Crime of passion, if you will. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then number two is her best friend. Mm-hmm. All right. So we have a motive. We've established the fact that, you know, he fits a lot of characteristics outlined by professional FBI profilers. Including one of the ladies that Mindhunter was based off of, she's like 86 now, but she was one of the people who originated the FBI profiling program.
I've got to go through. There's another season of that now, and watch that. I know you raved about it. If there's any, every once in a while, I know you don't like Netflix, but every once in a while they come up with, they will put something out that maybe this is worth taking a look at, you know?
Yeah, like the Jeffrey Dahmer
thing, yeah. Thing
was fairly interesting. I think they exaggerated some things in that and some things they got wrong, which was like the... like the box thing was not exactly how it went down. It was close, but it wasn't exactly the way it went.
Yeah, one of my other favorite people, well, he's not a favorite, I don't like the guy or anything, but one of the people that I also study is Ted Kaczynski, especially now.
If he hadn't murdered people, I would be a fan of his, but I definitely think that that manifesto is something people should heed, in spite of his murder. I think he murdered people out of desperation. You know, I kind of understand where his mind was. You know, I don't forgive him for doing it, believe me. But I definitely understand where his mind was. And I don't think he's crazy at all. He's probably more sane than the rest of us, if you want the truth of the matter. I just don't condone the violence. I think, you know, I think you can make your point. You can succeed in your goals without violence. I've taken a very pacifist approach to life as I get older, especially the more, I ain't trying to preach to anybody, but the closer I get to God, the less violence I want to see in the world. And it's just like this murder case. I want it solved because it should have never happened, and justice needs to be served. And I know that the killer, if he's not caught on earth, he'll eventually face his maker, and that's a punishment more brutal than anything we can do to him here on earth. But I would like to see earthly justice as well, just to kind of bring closure and peace to those here who are affected by it, you know.
Yeah, certainly.
And I, you know, I could talk about it a little more, but that I pretty much covered what I feel like, you know, I wanted to get out of my system. I just would think that the police would pay more attention to these two people. Mm-hmm. Just to get them out of the way, if nothing else.
Right. Now, last week you and I talked about the Brittany Griner.
Yeah, the Victor Boot trade.
And yeah. You mentioned something, a movie, which I did not know until you pointed this out to me on Facebook.
Yeah.
That it was based on. There was a movie called Lords of War with Nicolas Cage. I did not know that that was based off of his life.
Yeah,
or it was. The scenario.
Yeah. Yeah,
I saw that movie when it first came out.
Ethan Hawke's in that movie.
Yeah, and I was just remembering it. We've been talking about it off and on over the last couple of days.
Yeah.
And that may be up there with Blow for me at this point now. 'Cause
really?
Which is a very intense, very sad movie.
Yeah, Blow's one of my favorite movies. Yeah, I'd put it up there with it. I'd still put Blow as one, and then, you know, Lord of War 2, but it kind of has that same feel where you're kind of rooting for the bad guy for some strange reason, you know. I don't want the guns to be killing people in Africa. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, you know what I mean? There's some sympathy there that shouldn't be, you know. Kind of fucks with your head a little bit. Now, John Young, is that who Blow's based off of?
I've never heard his name, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, I think it's John Young was the guy. Now... he didn't really murder anybody, and his product might have inadvertently, but drugs is a far cry from guns, you know. So I have a little more empathy for his character than I did. Obviously, in Lord of War, they changed his name, but, you know. That's a list you didn't want to get on. I made a movie about Victor Boot, and I used this dude's name. Nothing will happen. But yeah, Lord of War. This is back. In fact, it says at the end, based on true events. So, I mean, you know, it doesn't say whose events, but it's well known, you know, that it's Victor Boot.
Go back to below for a second. It's based off a book. It's a true story. It's based on a true story, but it's based off a book.
I see. That's weird to me. I mean, it's based off of a true story. You know what I mean? And the fact there's, well, the book's based on a true story, but the movie's based on the book. But it's still based on a true story.
Story, yeah. I guess they use the...
Books are kind of like elongated scripts, so... Mm. I guess if you're good at it, you could take the book and, you know.
But yeah, it is. I just just looked it up and I was like, wow, I'll have to go track this down now.
If you haven't seen it in a while, that's an older movie. So yeah, yes. Watch it again and then think about what we traded for. And then you'll get mad all over again. Mm-hmm. Knowing full well that Dave Weiland, a decorated Marine, is rotting in a Russian prison with nobody trying to get him home.
For absolutely nothing.
He attended a wedding.
Well, yeah, and people don't think about this, but
there's another Marine over there too.
You or maybe it wasn't you. Somebody else pointed out that Russia does this kind of stuff all the time.
Yeah, they do. They'll snatch up. So that's why I'm in no hurry to visit Russia.
Because they know that if they know that we'll eventually cave and we'll give them something to get our people back, depending on who they snatch. You know.
Well, we gave them no incentive to give anybody significant up, man. We got Brittany Griner, and they got Victor Boot.
And so
Boot say on Russia TV? On Russia, they asked him, so what are you going to do now that you're free? I'm gonna jump into the Russia Ukraine war.
Oh, Lord.
It's like, oh, motherfucker. Let's just,
like they didn't, nobody saw that one coming.
We got the number one fucking gun runner in the world. You don't think he's going to get involved in a Russia-Ukraine war?
Traded for a
gay basketball player.
A WNBA basketball star who nobody pays
attention to. I never heard of her.
Yeah, nobody pays attention to her anyway. Nobody looks at that league.
I've never heard of that woman before. I couldn't have told you who that woman was before this had you paid me.
I couldn't have either.
And I still don't even want to know who the fuck she is. I don't want that knowledge wasting space in my brain. But here we are. Because we have a fucking president with tapioca pudding in his head, man. And I told my dad, I said, I hate to use that analogy because it's an insult to a very delicious pudding.
Give me banana any day.
I'm not here to debate pudding flavors. I'm just saying that dude has pudding in his brain.
Yeah, but I mean, don't make it. Okay. Okay.
I mean, I appreciate banana is your favorite. Banana pudding is not pudding. That's
I mean, every. Well, when you've. I heard somebody. I was listening to. Occasionally, I pick up on YouTube C-SPAN's recap of news going on in Washington.
What do you got for us?
Today, I heard, like, he went over to. He was.
Are we talking about Pudding Head?
Yeah, he went over to it was a National Guard, some kind of National Guard post somewhere, and he was it was the one that was named for his son. And he's like, you know, I told Congress they better do this, pass this bill, damn it, or I'm gonna blah 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 blah. And I'm like, really?
Did you see him at the Toys for Tots deal?
No, but I can imagine what a train wreck that was.
It was an absolute train wreck, man. It was, go look it up on YouTube, man. You don't have to do it now, but just at your leisure. You want to? I don't know, laugh or cry at this point, because it's just.
Is there some sort of significance to him? I've noticed this every time he takes pictures or he's in public.
Yeah.
He always has to wear sunglasses. Is there some sort of significance to him wearing sunglasses all the time?
No, he thinks he's cool with those aviators on, and he thinks he's hot shit. Speaking of politics, okay. Since we're here,
mm-hmm.
I want to change direction a little bit. Are you following Arizona at all?
Arizona.
Maricopa County, gubernatorial.
Yeah, somewhat.
That's getting feisty.
Yeah, it is. I mean...
Carrie Lake is a brilliant woman. And somebody who's an anti-feminist, I will tell you when I see a brilliant woman, and she is a brilliant woman. She played this as if it were a Stradivarius violin. Genius woman, okay? She approached this midterm, this gubernatorial race, which, you know, included the midterm election cycle. She ran this as though she was going to lose because she anticipated that Katie Hobbs was going to cheat. That was a given. So as the election happened, she was prepared and gathered all the evidence that she could. So now she's got a case that she has filed, okay? And the preliminary proceedings went up before the judge one day this week. I'm not sure exactly when because I was a little late to the game. Katie Hobbs didn't feel the need to attend this hearing, so she had a lawyer instead. And Carrie Lake was present with her attorney. This was a virtual hearing. This was over Zoom. It doesn't matter because it still happened. And immediately, Katie Hobbs' attorney says, "Well, the plaintiff in this case doesn't have any evidence, so we would like to just go ahead and dismiss this case." And the judge is like, "Well, wait a minute." The fact that you're in such a hurry to get rid of this case assumes that I'm going to dismiss it. You're wrong. We're going to proceed. So basically, the judge got suspicious because the dude was trying to get rid of the case. It's like, no, nothing to see here. Let's just make this go away before the hearing to dismiss even happened. So now the judge is like, no, I want to hear arguments. We're going to do this Monday. We're going to hear arguments because you're being suspicious right now. I'm a fucking judge. I do this for a living, and you just gave it away. So I'm going to hear the case. And second of all, Carrie Lake said that she is prepared to take this to the Supreme Court if need be. She's going to take it all the way to the Supreme Court. She's not giving it up. Okay, now back to Katie Hobbs. Katie Hobbs said inadvertently that the election was rigged. because she was talking. I guess she was answering questions in an interview. And she was like, you know, we're kind of looking at how we could work around the Republicans having the slight majority in the state Senate, in the state House, you know. We're looking at executive orders and everything, and some things I might be willing to work with Republicans on is, you know, is election integrity, you know. There might be some small tweaks that we can do to improve the election process, you know, because it is flawed. I'm like, really? You're ahead of the election, and you just so happen to win, and now you're admitting that there's flaws in the election process in your state.
Shoot, man, there's people in my state trying to pass. The Democrats here are trying to get all kinds of crazy shit through.
What is it with the crazy shit? Why not just kind of come up with normal shit?
With particularly with voting stuff, the ID thing is a big deal to these.
You're a grown man. You're an adult, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm an adult. I'm a grown man. Let's just ask ourselves a question here. I have friends of all, you know, of all walks. I've got friends from Egypt, Bangladesh. I've got black friends. I've got white friends. I'm colorblind as far as my social circle goes. I didn't intend it to be that way. It's just we Gen Xers, I think, like our generation truly were raised not to look at race. It was drilled into our head and we got the message and we listened. It's like, you know, we have a diverse circle of friends as Gen Xers, you know. Mm-hmm. The generation after us started paying attention to race again, okay?
Because the media made it.
Well, you can point to 1,000 different directions, you know.
Yeah.
But Gen Xers were the true, you know. You got the boomers before us, our parents, who had had a little bit of the racism there, and they're like, you know, we can do better with our kids. So Gen X comes up, we're truly colorblind to race. We don't pay it any attention for the most part. In fact, I don't even, when I describe somebody race, it doesn't even come into my mind. It's like, well, he was a tall dude, you know. Then I have to be asked, well, was he black or white? What does it even matter? It's my next question. You know, why does that even enter into it? You know, and I think most Gen Xers are that way. You know, it never comes up. When I'm talking to any other friend, even you and I, we don't talk about race hardly at all unless it's pertinent to politics.
Mm-hmm.
So with that mindset, I'm looking at this ID thing, this voter ID thing. In Alabama, it's required. You have to have an ID to vote. Nobody protests. We all just get our IDs out, present it to the registrar or whatever they are, and they cross your name off the list, hand you your ID back. You take your anonymous ballot, and you go vote. There's no way to connect your name to how you voted. Your ballot doesn't have your name on it. And you stick it in the machine, and it gets counted.
Mm-hmm.
So I fail to see how enforcing voter ID is somehow racist.
Because it's not about enforcing voter ID.
That's the question. That's the question I wanted to get to. Okay.
Yeah, it's not about that. It's the same thing with you just hit the nail on the head. You don't put your name on your ballot, right? They want. Same thing.
All they know is that I voted. That's all they know. Yeah, they don't know how.
Well, basically, what they want is they want it's like gun registration.
Okay.
They want a database of people that they can connect to, that they can learn. It's another data point that they can connect to somebody that they can build a profile of, and either spam your butt.
So you're saying that the Democrats are against voter ID. That's the part that confuses me, because you're making sense right now. If there's an argument against voter ID, that would be it. But the way it is here in Alabama, your ID is not connected to your ballot. You just have to prove that you're a citizen. You have to prove that you're of age. You have to prove you are who you are. I'm not sending George in there as me to vote for me. You know, it's just, you are who you are. Here's your random anonymous ballot. Go do you, and we're not connecting your name to how you voted in any kind of way. All we know is that, yes, you are who you are, and yes, you did vote. You are a voting citizen. That's all we know.
Yeah, which makes me wonder, how do they make the stretch of counting dead people? People that are how does that even...
That's where the mail-in ballots come in. Because there's a chain of custody failure there. There's a chain of custody breakdown with the mail-in ballot situation. That's why the Democrats, they seized the opportunity in 2020. It's like, oh, we have a golden opportunity. What do they always say? Never let a good crisis go to waste. Exactly. And it worked so well in 2020 that here we are through the midterms, you know, and I have to get, you know, my dad and I were talking about this. And it's like, it wasn't what conservatives wanted to see. It's not what we felt was going to happen. But considering we know that the Democrats cheat and the Republican, you know, the conservatives still showed strong as they did, that's kind of impressive to me. That says to me, if they didn't cheat, there wouldn't be a Democrat left in Washington. You know, the only reason they're still even there is the fact they cheated.
The thing about it is this is all connected to, the reason they want the border, they're trying to make people, they're telling people that the border's secure, that it's not a problem, and all these people are going through, and it's connected because they give somebody an ID card. It doesn't matter what name's on it. It's an ID. Right. It's a legal ID.
And it's a wink, wink, nod, nod. You know who to vote for because, you know, exactly. You scratched your back.
And by that way, out of superior numbers, they will always win because they've bought the vote for the past five or six generations, you know. Anybody that comes, we'll give you this, we'll do this, you know.
A lot of false promises.
Exactly. And by their standards, you know, it probably, you know, by the people that are coming over here, you know, it probably is like a gold mine to them because, I mean, compared to where they were. It's basically stacking the pre-stuffing the ballot box without actually having to really do anything. And the Republicans, if there's any fault in them, for them, is why are they not, you know, hammering any of these things down? They should be like, if they get take over, they should be like investigating the snot out of this. Investigating people left and right, but they're not going to do it. If they had power, they wouldn't do it.
Well, here's how I explained it to my dad. Let's go outside of the realm of politics for a minute here. Mm-hmm. All right. I don't know. You don't really follow cycling as closely as I have, but Lance Armstrong got his seven championships, Tour de France championships, taken from him because he used an oxygenator in his blood. He wasn't using like steroids or anything, but he used a product that allowed his blood to retain more oxygen. Okay. Effectively cheated. Okay. I'm an advocate for Lance Armstrong, even though he cheated. I still feel like he deserves those championships. Well, when I say that, the next question out of somebody's mouth is, how can you support somebody who cheated? That's not fair. Well, when everybody in the game cheats and you don't, you're guaranteed to lose. If everybody in the game cheats and you cheat too, the way I see, you're being competitive. And when you're a cheater and you win among cheaters, you're a fucking champion. The way I see it. You have to play the system as the system is set before you. You know what I mean? You have to play the game that you're in, that you play. You can't, it's like I told my dad, you can't be playing football over here when they're playing soccer and expect to win. You know, you have to play the same game they're playing. And at this point, like I told my dad, I believe that the Republicans should play the playbook of the Democrats to the letter. Go at them hard, aggressive at their own game. Cheat, steal, do dead people vote, whatever they need to fucking do to get Democrats out and get themselves in. Okay? And once they're in, that's when they need to right the wrong. That's when they need to fix things. And I don't see that happening. But no, that's the only way that it's gonna change. And the proof is in the pudding. You know, the House of Representatives in this midterm election had a strong showing from California on the conservative side because the conservatives in California did exactly that. They played the Democrats' game. And that's the only way they won. Mm-hmm. And to that note, that's pretty much all I have to say about all that. I don't have any other news there. I'm really not trying to pay attention to it. But, you know.
Well, it's kind of like of all the things going on, you know, some of it's crazy, some of it's not. It's just, I love when they pull on Bernie Sanders, they'll play clips of Bernie Sanders as if he knows what the hell he's talking about anymore.
It's only the billionaires. The billionaires. We need to take the billionaires' money, huh?
Whatever you say, billionaire.
No. I'm just a millionaire. I'm one of you. I'm poor. I don't have a lot of money. I'm just a millionaire. We need to look at the billionaires. That's what we need to look at. The billionaires, they're the ones that have too much money. So I'll write my next book. But,
Man, I miss Senator Stevens, man. That dude.
It's a bunch of tubes. It's tubes, man.
I mean, he deserved everything he got.
Yes, he did.
You know, but still.
The entertainment factor alone was just absolutely hilarious. I don't even know if he was Republican or Democrat, but that dude was hilarious, man. That dude was entertainment for days, man. It's not a bunch of trucks that you could just ship the internet back and forth with, and you know, it's like a bunch of tubes, and the tubes get clogged. And like, what the fuck does that have to do with anything, dude?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Speaking of the internet.
Yeah.
You know what's going on. You see what's going on with Twitter right now. Everybody sees what's going on with TikTok, and it's all up in the news, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that China owns TikTok, and all this data is being harvested for their whatever purposes.
Yeah.
They
ESG mostly, but yeah.
How the heck does no? I mean, it's like you got one hand saying, "Oh, we need the tech companies need to be, you know, taken down a few pegs, and you know, they need to be held accountable." I mean,
well, I think Elon is doing exactly what Elon needs to do if Twitter is going to be successful. See, what people don't realize about Twitter and it's not talked about as much these days, is that ever since Twitter was founded, it never earned a dollar on its own.
Yeah.
It took a lot of round of funding, a lot of people invested, it takes advertising, but it has never been profitable.
Because nobody in that company ever
did. They're not in that company to make money.
I mean, I don't even think Jack, the founder of the original founder of it, was in it to make money, because look at the dude.
He looks like a homeless dude.
I mean, and then of course Elon comes in after buying the company, and he's like,
and he spent $44 billion. It needs to make money.
And the first thing he does is come in like, okay, all you freelancers that are not doing anything, get out.
And you know what? He fired like 75% of the workforce. And I think Twitter's run better than it's ever ran. I mean, I get on Twitter every now and then, because I have friends that don't have Facebook. And so I reach out to them on Twitter. And, you know, Twitter has been very smooth lately. And a lot of people I follow just randomly showed up that I had forgotten about. They just, you know, I'm like, damn, man, where did they go? Where did they come from, man?
He got rid of all the bots, man.
And like I said, they're paying the salaries of 75% of the workforce who aren't really doing anything for Twitter. And that's what I call trimming the fat. I mean, I don't think Elon's doing this to be anti-woke. I think he's trying to reset the company and he's going to try to make it profitable. He's got to recoup that investment somehow. And that's a big investment.
Yeah, which I think, because I heard somebody say they were talking about the jobs report. I think it was a couple of days ago, and they were saying that there's a lot of openings and stuff that people aren't taking advantage of, because basically what all these companies did, all these woke people got in there and started, you know, demanding unionization and this, that, and the other, and the companies just said leave. So there's all these openings.
Yeah.
You know. So that's why there are all these jobs, you know.
Yeah, they need to hire me at some point.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Apple is probably one of the number one culprits for some of this stuff. But one of their stores decided to unionize. I forget where. And Apple, when it came time to you know, delve out the packages, the insurance, and all that kind of, you know, incentive packages to their employees.
Yeah.
They gave all their stores the option except for the store that unionized.
I just closed that store. That's what I would do. An open one down the street. I mean, I just hit the reset button on that one store, man. Y'all stay here. This is about to be a shoe store in about a month or two, and the rent runs out. Meanwhile, the real Apple store is going to be down the road a block. So,
I firmly believe that eventually the internet will go back to the way it was.
It's getting there. I mean, you still have 4chan and, you know, Reddit. Which Reddit's a joke these days anyway, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think you're right. I think people get tired of trying to fucking regulate it. You know.
Well, I mean, that's what Facebook, I'm still waiting for the
action. You know what, Facebook is, if you stop and think about it. Mm-hmm. Facebook is AOL.
Pretty much. I mean, it seems weird to talk about them, and then we have to go, oh, look at our Facebook page. But
Well, there's somebody building our website, but he's not done with it yet, so we have to wait.
True. The
keyword geek versus geek, on AOL.
Yeah, keywords geek versus geek on, of course, it would be Google now.
Well, it'd be hashtag also.
Hashtag geek versus geek. At one point, we did have a Twitter handle and all that kind of stuff, but.
Did we?
Yeah. It just never got used.
Huh. I might want to revisit that. Maybe. I don't know. I don't use Twitter that much.
I don't either.
I try to promote the show on there, though, when we get a new episode. In Mastodon, I try to promote it, too, which I think a lot of our traffic is coming from Mastodon, to be honest about it. So maybe we ought to, you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't want to spam Mastodon, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, if the promotion works, you know.
Well, eventually, I hope to have our own instance. That's one of the reasons why I was. You'll hear me talk about it from time to time. Is having a server. That way, I can run. Of course, you don't need a huge thing, but.
Well, you know, you can always do the AWS route and rent a server, you know, which isn't that expensive comparatively.
That is something to consider. I want to know. I know there's some more kind of value for value centered companies out there that I want to take a look at. I just need to find out where they're. Because if it's, you know, as far as hosting and stuff like that, I would rather give, you know, somebody who believes in you know, free, you know, do whatever you want to enterprise than, you know, oh, we knew this has to be regulated. So, maybe over the holidays, I will take a look.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking about doing something with an AWS server. I had an AWS account there for a long time, which I used for cloud storage, but cloud storage basically became free. So, I use this Dropbox alternative, they're not a sponsor of the show, called Mega, which gives me, I've got 25 gigabytes of free storage through that service.
I'll have to check that out because
I think I have an invite that I can invite. We'll both get some extra storage.
That'd be cool. Dropbox has gotten on my nerves every time I go to use it now. Where I have an issue is their authentication system. I'm all for two-factor authentication, but if I can't get to where I want the information that I need to do the two-factor authentication, and then you don't give me an alternative. If one doesn't work, you know, because it's not the I don't remember my password. It's I logged in. Oh, do this before you actually log in. It's a case where two-factor authentication bites me in the butt. And it's annoying. So.
I don't know if this will help you or not, but I'm going to send you a link. It's to a QR code. Somebody, I got a picture of your dad in the chat window here. random, but oh well. How is your dad doing?
He's doing good.
Cool. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not trying to pay attention to any of this stuff. Oh, wait a minute. Here's a referral program. Hang on, referral. What is it? Okay, yeah, it says hungry. Here is here's a referral. Ignore that QR code and use this link instead.
Okay.
Sorry, listeners. We're just trying to get things done here. Use that link, not the last link. Okay. I don't really have anything else. I covered the main topic that I wanted to.
And I've pretty much covered everything that I, you know, there was one other story, but I don't want to talk about it yet because I want to send you some information first before we talk about it.
Okay. All right. Anything else on the list?
No. That was...
As if we had a list. We were just talking.
We tried the list route for a while.
It just kind of felt like it wasn't very natural, or as the kids say, it just didn't feel very organic. You know what I mean? It just didn't feel very genuine.
Which, if there's something that you loyal peoples think we should know about it that you would like us to discuss, please drop us a line on the Facebook page. Facebook.com.
Yeah, between the two of us, we're well versed in just about every. We're not professionals on anything, but we have an opinion on everything. So, And if there's something that you know, like the Moscow, Idaho murders, you know, because we don't normally talk about true crime on this. It's not really your thing. I don't really think it's my thing either, because being public about it, I think, is exploitive, and I'm not trying to do that. But if any of our listeners have something that they feel like they can contribute, if it's something related to the case, don't tell us about it. Reach the authorities in charge of the investigation and let them know about it. We need to get that solved, because if that goes cold, that's not only you got a killer running loose, you killed four people. So by definition, he's a mass murderer. I mean, he's like Richard Speck at this point. Which that dude was fucked up in the head, but you have to be to kill people.
I'll have to look into that. That's kind of all I had.
All right. Well, we don't have to go the full 2 hours tonight if you don't.
No.
I don't want to force content that we don't have. I mean, well, shorter episodes do better anyway, I think. So.
Well, we will be back in,
about a week.
Well, it is the holidays, so...
You want to tell... you? Okay, well, that's something we need to... Is next week Christmas or something?
Yes, it is Christmas.
No shit?
It's on a Sunday, so it wouldn't be that big of a deal, but... I don't know. What do you...
I'm looking at a calendar right now. Give me a second.
Okay.
Talk to our audience while I do.
Yeah, hope y'all are enjoying the show. Calendar.
Where is the calendar on this? Oh, there it is. All right.
Do, 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 do.
All right, let's see. It's December.
That's correct.
Actually, Christmas is 2 weeks away. So, no, wait a minute. No. Yeah, you're right. Damn, it's a little over a week. Not quite. It's a week and 2 days.
Snuck up on you, didn't it?
Well, yeah. I just don't pay attention anymore. Okay, let's make an executive decision. Do we do an episode before Christmas or not? Do we take a break?
I'm okay with taking, because I'm going to be busy right up until. So.
Do you want to do a pre-canned episode just to give the listeners a taste?
We certainly can. Do you have any in the pipeline is the question.
No.
so we need to, we didn't think about this. We, okay. Well, then we may need to do an episode then.
We'll do it. We'll play it by ear. We may take a break. We may not. If you don't get an update for the holidays, don't panic. We just decided to take a break for, because we're both going to be pretty busy. I might go solo. I mean, you've done a solo episode, I think.
Or two. Yeah, I haven't done one in a while, but yeah.
So I might just do a solo on my own. Just to kind of do something different. I might pick a topic or something, just go on a rant, who knows. but yeah, look for that. I'll probably go solo. If that's okay with you.
That's cool.
I just plan on doing that. It'd be a lot of work for me, but it just makes sense. Instead of us both trying to get together and get our schedules lined up and trying to figure it out, I'll just knock one out and then just upload it. And I might do a couple just to have one extra. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if anybody ever we released a couple of the Geofly solo.
They got the re-release got views.
Yeah. So I don't even know which number I would be on there, but I may
early.
Yeah.
That would have been back in June when I had to leave town for a month.
I may pop up on the face bag and do the live thing.
Yeah. Look for that. You do the live thing on face bag. I'll throw a solo up. We'll kind of just,
we'll
tag team. And our listeners, that'll give listeners incentive to go check out the Facebook. Because, it's hard to interact with somebody when they're not there. I mean, you know, we want to interact with our listeners, but y'all just ain't there. So, no interaction at all there. And, I don't like Facebook either. But you'll find that if y'all have the show in common as our listeners, you as listeners might have things in common with yourselves. So you can make fun of Gio or me or, it would make it'd be one of his Christmas wishes come true if y'all would drop some feedback and give him something to chew on. He would really like that. Because he feels like he's being ignored if he doesn't hear from his listeners. So, fulfill Gio's Christmas wish and give the man some feedback on our show. And make his year. Just he'll be gloating on that for months, man, if y'all do that for him. You want to make Gio happy, don't you? Just want to give him some feedback, man.
Yeah.
You don't want me to send out the sad Gio face newsletter. I mean, come on now.
Subtle dig it.
Well, I think we said everything we needed to say this episode.
So until next time, I'm Gio.
And I'm Bug.
Later.
Gator.